The content of this podcast should not be considered financial or investment advice. All interviews and discussions are opinions only, and the podcast has been created without taking into consideration the listener's financial objectives, financial situation, or needs. Listeners should obtain independent advice before making any financial decisions. The Explorers podcast is sponsored by RM Capital, a provider of specialist small to mid-cap corporate advisory and boutique wealth management services. Hi, this is Barry Fitzgerald, Garen Perra columns for StockIn. Welcome to another edition of the Explorers podcast. We're catching up again today with Boadicea Resources, which trades under the code BOA or Bravo Oscar Alpha. It is trading at 21 cents a share for a market cap of 17 million. Now, that's not a lot for any listed company, let alone one like Boadicea, which has exposure to one of the more interesting nickel copper exploration plays out there, as well as a position in the hotter than hot Paterson province, where it has a shot at finding the next Telfer, Winu, or Havieron. That's what Boadicea has on offer with its modest market cap, and it can be said the company is in for some interesting times as the back half of 2021 unfolds. Now, as mentioned when we last caught up with the company, Boadicea has a uniquely structured exploration joint venture with IGO of Nova Bollinger Nickel Copper Mine fame in WA's Fraser Range. IGO is also an 8% shareholder and is looking for a life-extending deposit on Boadicea's adjacent ground in the Fraser. In addition, Boadicea has been securing an exploration position in the Paterson where it has a Telfer look-alike dome structure that will be worth drilling for its gold-copper potential. And just as a reminder there, Telfer is, of course, Newcrest's 32 million ounce gold mine in the region. We have Boadicea Managing Director John Reynolds with us today to bring us up to speed on recent developments with the company in the Fraser Range and the Paterson, and just what investors should be looking out for in the months ahead. So with that, g'day, John. Welcome back to the podcast, and thanks for your time today.
Yeah, thank you, Barry, and thank you for that introduction.
Yeah. John, I know you're probably champing at the bit to talk about the recent drilling work by IGO and the company's Fraser Range joint venture with them. I think it would be a good idea just to refresh listeners on the structure of that joint venture and its focus areas.
Yeah, thank you, Barry. We completed this deal with IGO around September, October last year. It covers nine of 11 tenements that we own in the Fraser Range. Of key interest, obviously, is a tenement called Simon's Hill, which is adjacent to the Nova mine tenement. The deal is, as you've described a couple of times, it's an unusual structure. It's it provides a five-year exploration access, exclusive exploration access to IGO across those nine tenements. They manage them. They spend all the funds. So we're free carried for those 5 years, of which there's probably about four and a half left. And we initially got a payment of about $7 million for that, of five and a half in cash and one and a half of, as you say, the 8% investment in our company. Now, the benefits to us, obviously, other than using IGO's expertise and skill set in the Fraser, which is unique with anybody in that area, is that if they find a JORC resource, and by a JORC resource, I mean anything, an inferred resource of any tonnages that they report, then they are forced to pay us $50 million to buy those tenements off us. Now, at the moment, we still own them, and we always will do. If they don't find a JORC resource in that time, then the tenements come back to our management. But throughout that whole time, we will own them. Now, the steak knives on top of this, other than the $50 million, is that we get a 0.75% royalty on any metal that's mined. So there's a potential of, you know, it depends on copper prices and nickel prices, how much metal there is. But, you know, we could potentially double that value to our shareholders, and obviously create an ongoing cash flow for the company as we move forward.
No, neat deal. Now, Boadicea has just passed on an update from IGO on the work in the joint venture area. There was a reference to a diamond hole and a whole bunch of air core holes. Assays are pending, but I was just wondering, what can you give us a feel for what encouragements came from that program?
Yeah, look, you say we're champing at the bit to do things in the second half of this year. IGO have been champing at the bit as well. They hit the ground running. They've put a program forward and planned this drill hole very quickly without any geophysics. So they wanted to drill this hole, which is about 300 meters on our side of the fence. It's targeting an intrusion that they call a conolith, which is a worm-shaped intrusion. It wriggles all over the place in terms of how it looks underground. And I point you to one of our announcements to see that graphic. Mm-hmm. So they drilled an 800-meter hole, 809-meter hole. It finished about a month ago. And it intersected that chronolith on our side of the fence. So, A, it ticked that major box for IGO in terms of NAS, in terms of that determining that. But the really interesting thing is they've hit good tenor, pyrrhotite, chalcopyrite, and pentlandite sulfides. So that's been observed within that chronolith. Now, they're not economic minerals at this mineralization at this stage, but what it does is it enforces or enhances the IGO's interpretation that this Orion chronolith is getting more prospective as we go into the northeast, and that's where we are. So yeah, as we move to the further northeast, it is getting more and more prospective, and so IGO have indicated already that they're planning to do additional drilling. We don't know the details of that. But following on from this hole, there's enough encouragement there that they want to do additional drilling in this area.
Mm-hmm. I think they've traced this Orion intrusion on their side, about 1.5 k's of strike. Any indications yet of how much it might extend into your ground?
No, none at all. That's the open-ended, that's the question that's got to be completed with drilling. I believe they did some seismic on their side, but we haven't done any seismic on ours. So the identification of this chronolith on our tenement is still in its early days. So it is all upside in terms of what it looks like. And as I say, it's getting better towards us. And look, I'll talk about the distance of the chronolith. It's still only 3 kilometers from Nova. It's effectively a satellite prospect from the Nova nickel mine. It's very adjacent.
Mm. And just a reminder to listeners, Nova, fantastic mine that it is, has a fairly limited life at this stage. So a discovery, if the Orion intrusion happens to prove up into something mineable, will be a failure for both IGO and you guys.
Absolutely, which is why they've been keen to acquire this tenement, and especially Simon's Hill, because of its proximity to the mine. It could be accessed from underground position, possibly. So, yes. Any nickel would be highly prospective in terms of commercialization of it.
Mm-hmm. Apart from the diamond holes, there was, I think, 89 air core holes. Assays also been. What was the plan there?
Yeah, so they've covered a number of areas with air core holes. As you say, there's been 89 of them. We've got some preliminary assays from within the holes, but not at we don't have all the bottom of hole assays, which is the most critical ones, because that's testing the basement as much as possible. There was some anomalous nickel and copper and cobalt in those holes, so there's definitely encouragement, and it identified the right rock types for potential additional mafic and ultramafic intrusions, so which is what they're targeting. So look, it's early in terms of the air core, but there's definitely some additional targets going to come out of that. And when we get those base bottom of hole assays, which is due in the next month, then we'll get some clearer indication from IGO what their plans are to follow up on those targets.
Mm. Okay, there was a particular reference to a target core magnetic eye feature, ballast eye, on the transline tenement. Was that worked up with the air core program, or
no? This is that air core program was within Simon's Hill itself, and looking beyond the original diamond hole and the moving loop EM that they've done. So the air core that they've completed has been within the Simon's Hill, so still proximal to the Nova mine. We've got, as we said, there's 8 other tenements, and they're all in the regions of all the significant discoveries. So there's Legends Discovery in Mawson, there's Silver Knight, There's we're in those all surrounding those sort of key targets. So Transline is a group of tenements, about four of them, near to Legend Mining, Mawson Discovery. It's IGO have identified a thing called Ballast I, which is a magnetic target for them. That is similar in some ways to the initial magnetic feature that Nova was discovered on. Not saying it's identical, but from an early stage. And IGO have got a program of air core holes and EM surveys across these tenements as well, so across these targets. So, yeah, it's not a one-trick pony. While Simon's Hill is number one in terms of its prospectivity, the other tenements are certainly highly prospective as well. And you know, it's not just Orion within Simon's Hill. There's other intrusions, other conoliths that have been identified on the IGO side of the fence that appear to extend within our license. So there's a number of targets here that will be worked up by IGO, and I'll remind everybody it's free carried for Boadicea.
Yeah, yeah. And importantly, with that IGO expertise in the background.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, well, good reminder there that it's not all about Orion. It's about lots and lots of different targets that will be worked up over time.
Yes, the multiple tenement package, they're all attractive in their own right. As I say, Simon's Hill is obviously the most attractive because of its location and because they've got a major target called Orion, which if we look back on our previous announcements, IGO had a target list of about 500 targets within the Fraser Range. Mm-hmm. Orion was their number one target. It was top of the tree in terms of the attractiveness of their targeting within the Fraser Range. So, and I suspect this from this drill hole, nothing's changed. It might be more attractive to them, but it certainly hasn't gone backwards from that perspective.
Mm. So, what can we think about the forward drill program on those tenements?
Well, we're going to get the assays back from both the air core and the diamond hole, and that will provide some additional information on the geology and on the mineralization style. Whilst there's visual sulfides, the assays is always the next check. Mm-hmm. IGO have indicated that they want to do more drilling. So following on from that, those assays being returned, I suspect we'll get an additional diamond drill program. Don't know how many holes. IGO have not indicated that to us at this stage. Following up on the Orion intrusion, that is almost, they've told us that they are planning additional holes. So we're looking forward to that, and that's probably going to be in the next 6 months. All the other tenements, as I've described before, there's ECHO EM surveys planned on those within the foreseeable future in the next quarter or so. And we would expect some significant targets to come out of that for potential drilling in Q4, Q1 next year.
Mm. I see you raised some money recently, about 3.7 mil. Obviously, that's not for the Fraser, that's for the Patterson, where you have recently struck a access agreement with the Western Desert Lands Aboriginal Corporation.
We raised. I mentioned that we got $7 million from IGO last year. We returned a reasonable amount of that, $4.5 million back to shareholders last year as a dividend for shareholders that have been around. Which is unusual for an exploration company, but
I've never heard of it.
we have been an unusual company, and it rewarded the existing shareholders, and then it has allowed us to bring in new shareholders as we've redeveloped and metamorphosed the company into a significant exploration company. We've got some access to some world-class regions. Either through Fraser Range and the Patterson Province. So, that money is mostly will get directed to the Patterson. We've completed, we're working through the granting of licenses, and we've signed an agreement with the Western Desert Land Council for three tenements up there, and we've got an additional application. And that allows us to, once all the licenses are granted, to get ground access and start working up the drill program, which is targeting a significant dome feature. So the airborne geophysics that we've done has identified a potential dome feature. Now, for those that know the Patterson, dome features are critical to, or one of the critical targeting tools. And as you mentioned before, Telfer is a classic dome. And it's world class by all accounts. You know, 32 million ounces plus a million tons of copper. So it is. We're sort of in that sort of giant country. Obviously, we've got some pretty big neighbours with Havieron and Winu, and they're all requiring, you know, sort of being developed as fast as they can because of the potential of those assets. So, yeah, we're keen to get on ground, and signing of the agreement and raising the capital are the two major steps for doing that.
So you've caught, it's the Coongalla Dome?
Coongalla Dome, yes. Mm-hmm. So we've got three licences, and one of them's still in application phase, so we're still waiting on that to be converted. That needs to go through a native title process, which we hope to get completed around October.
Apart from that approvals process, are the likely drill targets worked up yet, or is there more work to do on that front?
Coongalla, the dome feature just stands out as the key target. The airborne geophysics that we have done has identified some other potential targets, but we are going to focus our initial attentions on that dome. So we're doing some additional airborne geophysics in August to get some better clarity on the dome and on the new fairly recent tenement that we've picked up, Coongalla East. So we'll get a better handle on the shape and orientation of that dome. And then once we've got ground access, then we can do some gravity, on-ground gravity.
Okay. Nice to have 100% of that. Any thoughts to bringing in a JV partner with Deep Pockets?
The modus operandi for the Paterson province is exactly that. We have not progressed that because we think we can progress it ourselves with our current funding capacity. So we're keen to push this as much as we can and keep it almost 100%. One of the tenements is at 95%. But yes, you're right. I think long term, the cost commitment for the Paterson province generally requires a senior to come in, a major to come in on over the top of a junior, and that is the modus operandi for the region. So yeah, look, I can see us entering that process eventually, but at this stage we can afford to do the work ourselves.
Now, one of the issues up in the Paterson, of course, is extensive sand cover. What's the situation at Coongalla?
We were constantly reminded, are you on the east side of the Paterson? It's going to be deep. And we're aware that Havieron is 400 metres plus. We did our airborne geophysics with a little bit of trepidation about how deep it could be, but we were very pleased. Where the dome feature is, it's about 200, 250 metres deep. So that's well and truly a drillable and without too much over the top expense, and also from a commercial economic point of view, it's well and truly, given Havieron is well and truly being developed by Newcrest at the moment, and that's 400 plus. So yeah, we're well and truly a relatively shallow potential target.
Yeah, it's funny. As we're saying, there's been a lot of discussion around sand cover in the region, but here we've got Havieron and 400 metres deep, and it's likely to be the first of those new discoveries up there to be brought into production.
Yeah, absolutely. It just shows the value of these, and obviously the value is feeding the hungry Telfer mill for them. But yeah, 400 metres and is a lot of capital development.
I know it might be a bit difficult at this stage, but are you able to give investors a rough idea when they might see the first hole go into the dome?
Given that we have to wait for this license, for the native title to complete, it's going to be probably mid-2022 before I can get on ground with a drill rig. But we're definitely already planning it because we know approximately where we need to put a hole. We just need to get the gravity survey to get us a bit more confidence. So you know, we've started thinking about how we get access. It's reasonably challenging access with fairly large sand dunes, but we're starting to plan that. There's plenty of companies doing pretty extensive work in the region, so there's a growing network of infrastructure for us to work off.
Mm. And the region, of course, has that infrastructure base that TOF has had in place for multiple decades now. So.
Yeah, and world-class infrastructure in a remote location as well, yeah.
And a very hungry mill.
And a very hungry mill, yes, you say, yes.
Okay, let's bring it all together then. What, for investors, here we are, the year's half over, got another half to go. What should investors look out for in this second half?
Well, look, it's more of IGO is the key. That is the significant initial growth plan. That is the one that's got the potential kick. So more exploration on up from IGO on our tenements with us free carried. They are active, they're positive, and they're pushing it hard. So that is the key news flow. The Congola news flow will be a little bit slower because it's early stage exploration, but it is a giant, so potential giant. So I would imagine that we will get some pretty good news flow coming out of that. And additionally, we've got some tenements in Queensland that we're looking to build up as well. And they're coming to granting soon. So, the news flow will be pretty active based off IGO and Coongalla.
Great stuff. Alrighty, John. Well, thanks for your time today. Very interesting development there in the Paterson, and fingers crossed with IGO in the Fraser. Anything could result from that. So certainly one to watch in the months ahead. So thanks for your time today and good luck with it all.
Thank you very much for your time, Barry.
This episode of the Explorers Podcast was sponsored by RM Corporate Finance, an active participant in emerging companies around the globe. To hear more about them or become a client, contact them on +61 8 63 80 92 00.